Dr. Linda Bender is a veterinarian, but much more than that. She is a passionate advocate for animals and author of Animal Wisdom, Learning from the Spiritual Lives of Animals, which illustrates the undeniable ability for animals to restore our ecological, emotional, and spiritual balance. Dr. Bender recently spoke with Thane Maynard from the Cincinnati Zoo.
Dr. Linda Bender, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan of your book, Animal Wisdom. I think it takes a perspective that goes much farther than most, and certainly much farther than most medically trained veterinarians.
Yeah.
So, Linda, tell us a bit about your journey from animal advocate to veterinarian, now to really involved in animal spirituality.
It never was a separation. When my relationship with animals began when I was a child, a young child out in nature, so I never doubted it, and I always understood on some level that it was a connection to source. Call it spirituality, you know, call it the interconnectedness of all life, but it is all the same. So that continued. It was never an issue for me throughout my veterinary career and my years living overseas working with wildlife. It was just a consistent theme that all life is soul, and there's a spiritual component to everything. Anima, the root word of animal, means soul.
Of course, I think many listeners who've ever had a pet have probably gotten great solace from, whether that's their dog, their cat, their bird, or whatever. They can certainly give us kind of an emotional uplifting of some sort, but you really do take it further to where you feel in the book and express that they have lessons to teach us.
Yes, and I was in South Africa about 5 years ago working with my good friend Linda Tucker with the White Lions in Timbavati, and I was in Kruger Park at one point, and I got the distinct knowing from, actually it was a herd of buffalo, that this message, this wisdom, this teaching, whatever you want to call it, from the animals, wasn't just meant for me, that it's meant for all people. And we desperately need to have that conversation as a human species. Now, I believe it's the most important question that we should be talking about.
You know, I was fascinated with your book that you clearly were able to get some great endorsements on the cover. You've got Jane Goodall, of course, the most famous person to ever work with animals. Deepak Chopra.
Yes.
I mean, the next thing I know, you're going to be on the Oprah Book Club.
Well, let's hope so.
Exactly.
I did a TV filming with Deepak, and it was really fun. And he asked the question. He asks wonderful questions. But he said, "Where do you draw the line on consciousness and soul?" And I said, "I don't. You know, there is no draw the line. You know, we don't have dominion over anyone or anything. You know, it's we're all interconnected, and we're all in this together. And what we do to animals, we do to ourselves ultimately. So that's why we need to have these conversations, these deeper conversations."
So tell us a bit. You know, in the book, you talk about your personal experience and others with telepathy with animals or with their pets, and on first blush, that might sound a bit over the top, and yet many of us have had such a close relationship with their animal, say their dog, that, you know, you can at least feel like you're on the same wavelength.
Absolutely. And, you know, the intuitive psychic connection, psi, whatever you want to call it, there is evidence out there. I mean, there's plenty of evidence. There's Dean Radin, Russell Targ, so many people. But whether we choose to read it or not, the skeptics, of course, do not. But it's real and it's out there. Often we don't know why or how those things happen, but we do know that they exist and that they do happen. And in Rupert Sheldrake's research, which I use some of that in my book, and he is also a good friend of mine, what really is the GPS, what really is the connection, is the emotional bond, the emotional connection. All boils down to love and compassion. Very simple.
Now, you touch on it in the book, and perhaps you could explain a phenomenon many people have sensed. I've sensed it with my own dog, which is they seem to be able to tell when someone's coming, but it has to be from far enough away that they didn't actually hear, say, for instance, their car, but they're able to sense it. So
yes.
What do you think that's about?
Well,
I have no idea.
Well, it's interesting. I'm glad you brought it up because Rupert Sheldrake, again, now he's a, you know, a Cambridge scientist, biologist. He knows how to put together a proper study, shall we say. And what he found over repeated tests, and others have found this as well, I think Dean Radin in his some of his work out at IONS, shows that the actual connection, when the animal picks up to be on alert, is when the intention arises in the person to come home. It's not when they get to a certain distance. It all boils down to the intention. Ah, I'm going home now. That's when it kicks in.
So now tell us a bit about your work, Linda. Are you still in practice as a vet?
I am actually traveling around. I give lectures and workshops around the world. I've been teaching on that sacred relationship between humans and animals for a long time. And now, since the book has been out, I'm pretty much on the road all the time. I kind of fly low and land when I'm working. Otherwise, I live on Delta Airlines, I think. But So I teach that. I work with people. If you go to my website, lindabender.org, you can see all the mischief I'm up to. But I also work very much with my nonprofit, which is called From the Heart, and that works with companion animals here in the U.S. And also from my years of conservation, I'm very committed to helping what's going on with poaching in Africa. So There's a lot of information on that. And I'm also taking stories with Rupert on my website. People are being asked to call in their stories of, quote, unexplained powers, of unusual happenings between them, things they just can't explain, intuitive encounters with their animals. And they're very common. The point is to show that it's not paranormal. It's very normal.
Well, certainly animals, from insects and other invertebrates on up, had the ability to use their senses very differently than we do, no doubt about it. So if we dug deep enough, there might be an explanation that all of us would concur on. That said, because your work is pushing the envelope or outside the box, as it might be said, I am sure you've had some fascinating public discussions if you're out giving talks where you have to be called out once in a while by people that are like, listen, lady, what are you talking about?
Oh, sure. You know, I used to, for years ago, I was called, you know, the vegetarian veterinarian weirdo. But, you know, the consciousness is changing. What was considered weird, you know, 20 years ago is now considered quite normal. So I just think we're continuing along that path. And I'm comfortable living on the edge of the known. I think that's where all the exciting things are happening.
Absolutely. Well, listen, congratulations on this book. And on your good work.
Thank you.
I hope sometime we'll meet and maybe have you come out to the zoo.
Oh, I'd love to do that. Love to do that. Yes. Be great. I look forward to it.
My guest has been Dr. Linda Bender, author of the book Animal Wisdom, Learning from the Spiritual Lives of Animals. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.
The Cincinnati Zoo's Thane Maynard speaking with Dr. Linda Bender.